Hello everyone and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or any of the other attractions in Central Florida, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to try any of the DVC resorts for really, really good prices, staying at the Boardwalk, Old Key West, Poly, Grand Floridian, Saratoga Springs, any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for anything in the Central Florida area, contact our friends at Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, if you need to book a trip anywhere in the world, and especially Walt Disney World, contact me at American Tourist Travel, and we will help you out with all your travel needs. So that's it, guys. We're going to hop on the train and head on over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast Trip Report Edition. Pull up a car, stool, car, bus, whatever the hell you pull up, John. Just pull it up and let's go.
You know, it seems like about a week ago, we were actually pulling up a stool at a bar. So, you know, it was the first time ever, but nonetheless, we were there.
We have drinking some beers together before. It was the first time we ever recorded actually at the bar.
Yes, and it was a good time. Good time at the Wyndham.
Oh, it was awesome. I love that. Dude, really, I think that Oasis bar is as good as any bar on Disney property. As far as just the seating, the size of it, and what they have to offer. And the pool is gorgeous, so I liked it there.
Yeah, the pool was beautiful, so. The cabanas, so.
Yep. I mean, I was waiting for us to be VIP'd into a cabana, but I guess we got to do a few more years to get VIP'd into a cabana, John.
Yeah, it may take a little more extensive podcasting before we get that level of treatment, but nonetheless.
I have a funny feeling, though, John, if I'd have said, George, could you set up one of those cabanas so we could record in private? I bet you he would have gave it to us.
Yeah, the day I was there, we actually recorded part of our show from one of those with George and Jay.
Yeah. I think he would have said us hooked us up. So, anywho, John, let's get this trip report rolling. You checked in on Saturday at Old Key West, correct?
Sunday.
I thought you got there the same day as me. I thought you got there before me.
No,
you did, but earlier in the day. Yeah, I got there in the afternoon. You got there in the morning, right?
Yeah, we were floating around Orlando in the morning and stuff, but we actually got over to the resort about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
3:30 or
4. Yeah, we checked in around 6:37, and then we went over to Target and got a bunch of stuff. But I will say, the one thing I will say, we flew down. We were highfalutin. When we got on the plane, I introduced us as Tommy and Judith when we sat down in first class. You know, I didn't even want to say me and Brenda's name because I figured they would recognize if I said Tommy and Judith. What do you think, John? Go ahead, Mr. John.
No, I think maybe you should have said Carmen and Brian. They are truly the originators of the highfalutin ambiance. You know, I mean, they even did the big thing at the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, yeah, that's a pod. Both of them, you know. I just felt like I was in their class for a change, John. You know, it felt good. You know, I put Cinderella's glass slipper on. You know what I'm saying, John? So.
That'd be an interesting sight.
Yeah, I don't think it would fit, John, but who knows. Anyway, we got there. We had a beautiful flight. Flight was perfect down, John. It was really nice. My iPad streamed perfectly. We watched two or three of our TV shows. Got off, went to the airport, got our rental car. The great thing about the airport, unlike renting from a normal place, you rent a midsize and they tell you to go pick whatever the hell you want. There's like 30 cars there.
Nice.
So we got a nice Nissan Rogue, John. It was really nice. And
very nice, very nice.
My buddy told me to take 417. I hopped right on it, and I was at Disney in like 35 minutes.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier than I-4, isn't it?
Oh, it's 1,000 times easier. I don't even think it took 35 minutes, John. It might have been 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Usually between 25 and 30 minutes, if there's no traffic, you zoom right over.
Yeah, there was no traffic, but we got stuck paying the tolls.
Yeah, true enough, but...
And do yourself a favor. There is one toll that you have to have exactly a dollar in change or you can't get off.
Or if you order SunPass before you come down and just throw it in your... You can order the removable one, throw it in your luggage, throw it on your car, and then take it back home with you and use it next time you come back down.
Well, they do have Easy Pass too, so I have that here, so I will bring that with me next time.
Yeah, so. There you go. And you won't even have to deal with any of it.
Exactly, but that slowed me down because I had to stop and pay a couple tolls. But besides that, there was no traffic. We checked in at the Wyndham. They were wonderful there, and I like the new deal where there's no housekeeping all week. I prefer that myself because me and Brenda are clean anyway. I like to be able to leave some things out if I want to. You know what I'm saying, John? I don't like to have to clean up every day before I leave.
Well, you feel obligated. Somebody's going to come in and look at your room and go, ew.
Dude, my wife, if we have housekeeping, she has to make the bed, clean. We clean the entire room. We spend a half hour, 45 minutes cleaning before we go to the park. No, it's basically I tip her. Thanks.
Yeah.
But anywho, we did straighten up, but like if you left one of your luggage open on the one on the spare bed, because that's what everybody does. They toss their luggage up on the spare bed and use that. Am I wrong? Ain't that how you do it, John? When it's just you and Lisa?
Actually, it depends how many days I'm going to stay. If I'm going to stay more than 2 or 3 days, I'm one of these unpackers. I like to unpack, put stuff away in drawers and the whole bit. So.
See, this is what I do, John. And I'll tell you the proper way to do it. Just kidding, John. But this is a tip from Captain Handsome. What I do is I use the drawers for my dirty clothes and fold them as I put them in so it's ready to go back into the suitcase. So this way I take everything as I'm wearing it, I take it out of my suitcase, and then I'll have 2 or 3 drawers that I separate everything into and fold it up and have it ready to pack it back into, you understand what I'm saying, to leave.
Now, I usually do it the other way. I take everything out, put it in there, and then I put my dirty clothes back into the luggage.
Yeah.
Because it's going back in there anyway. But this time, I didn't even have to worry about that. We had a washer and dryer in the room, so we came home with clean clothes. So it was absolutely awesome. So.
And that's smart to do. Use Disney's electric. You're paying for it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we came back every night from whatever we were doing, did a load of laundry and got it folded and put away. So... I don't think we came back with any dirty clothes. That was great.
Dude, I might have washed one pair of skivvies each night just to do it.
I think I did just the pool towel one time.
There you go. We're into conservation, aren't we, John?
Absolutely.
But anywho, we got in, we checked in, and this was the worst thing that happened all week. One of the worst things that happened. It started off bad, 2 meals in a row. We were running really late. I wanted to go to Disney Springs. But I knew that Bran was tired. Like, I was ready to, you know, John, you know me. I think you know me by now. I could burn the candle at both ends and right down the middle. You could see that, can't you?
No. You seem rather lazy and lackadaisical about a lot of things.
Yeah, thanks, man. But anywho, I wanted to go to the Springs that night because by the time we got done Target, it was like 8:30, John. But I still wanted to run over to Springs and maybe go to Chicken Guy or something like that and get something to go. But Brenda was like, I could just see she was exhausted from a long day. So we went to stupid Arby's, John.
And
that was, well, the reason, buddy, we turned there. You know where the CVS is? Right there that takes you to the Animal Kingdom? That back way? What is that? Sonoma Road or something like that? Solana Road? Begins with an S.
Over 192. So, yeah, there's that one.
Yeah, it begins with an S.
But there's a Chick-fil-A there. There's a Popeye's right there.
Dude,
I mean, there's a lot better selection than Arby's.
The Chick-fil-A line was from...
I don't care.
Dude,
You know what, Doug? It was 3 days later for lunch when me, Lisa, and Nicholas went over there. And you know what I did? I did a mobile order, and they brought it out to me in about 10 minutes. So,
yeah, well, we would have, dude. But
I skipped the drive-thru altogether. So
We were I just wanted to get her home into bed, John. So anyway, we did that. It was edible, but it was nothing great. And we went home. We checked in the room. We got in our room. It was gorgeous. Like I said on the last show, it was spotless. The, you know, I mean, from head to toe, John, it was one of the cleanest rooms I've ever been in. And I said on the last show, like the last time, and I didn't want them to think I meant like the last time I stayed at the Wyndham, because I there wasn't a last time. When I meant the last time, it was what happened to us at Riverside. When, you know, the coffee pot had about a quarter inch of dust on top of it, and we had name tag, or we had, what you call it, tags from the previous attendant in that room that took off the tags from their brand new clothes and left it up on the shelf, and they left me some milk and stuff in the fridge. It was wonderful, John.
No, very nice.
So, room was spotless. We checked in, and then we went to the Wave on Monday. What did you do Monday, John?
Well, let me talk about my room, Doug.
Well, when you checked in, I'm sorry, backtrack. We got in the same day. You checked in the beautiful old Key West.
Yes, indeed, and it was our first time at in a one bedroom, and it's going to be hard pressed to go back to a studio room after that. It was awesome. I was able to make breakfast a couple of times. Like I said, we were able to do laundry anytime we wanted. We had the whirlpool, so we had our own little hot tub going. Went over to Disney Springs and bought the bath bombs for Lisa, so she was ecstatic to sit in there probably about 45 minutes every other night enjoy a nice hot tub. So, yeah, the one bedroom out there is absolutely fantastic. So, our room was also very clean, but Disney's also doing a lot better job, obviously, since the COVID and everything else. The rooms are very, very clean. And actually, what you said about housekeeping has always been like that with DVC.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
You don't get anything except for on the fourth day. But for some reason, they switched that around now to where they at least come in and empty your trash cans every day. So I don't know why. It never has been before. But, yeah, they at least came in and emptied our trash every day, which is nice enough, you know. But, yeah. I mean, we were literally three doors down from the refuse thing, so I dumped it all the time myself anyway. But, yeah, it was great. We ended up ordering, I had told you, we ended up ordering a pizza and wings that night because we also had problems getting over to Disney Springs.
You'd have been better off going to Blaze Pizza, and I'd have been better off going to Chicken Guy.
I would have been better off probably going to Arby's with you. At least yes. It wouldn't cost so much. I got a large pizza and eight wings, and it cost me $62 plus tip. So
that's crazy, Yelza. John. That is crazy. I'll tell you what, the food, like I spoke about, I'll get into the wings at the Wave. I mean, at the Oasis Bar. Dude, we got the shrimp, I mean, the mahi-mahi tacos and the chicken wings, which was like 10 wings, I think it was. And that was only $25, John.
Yeah. So we got raked over the coals there.
$60 for a pizza. Was it like the best pizza you ever had?
It was, you know what, I've discovered it was a severely deep dish, stuffed, Chicago-style pizza. So, I mean, one slice is an entire meal. You know, it was much more like a lasagna on steroids than it was a pizza. So I ended up eating the whole thing through the week. I put it in the refrigerator and ate a slice here and ate a slice there. Nobody else in the family liked it at all because we just don't dig Chicago-style pizza. We really are more of the classic New York style, but I ended up eating it, and it was okay, but it wasn't $62 okay.
Nah, not at all, John. It's sad when you get hit like that. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
So we both started off the trip on a low note.
Boo.
So I went to bed, though. I was full enough. I was happy. We had a clean room. It was showered, all ready to go in the morning, because that's what we did. We both showered that night, so we get out bright and early to go to the Wave for breakfast. And I was super-duper-pooper excited, and I'm like, I'm going to forget all about that crappy Arby's, and I'm going to eat at the Wave and get my Florida Eggs Benedict, and it sucked.
And how many times over the last year have you bragged about that Florida Egg? You told me repeatedly I needed to go specifically to the Wave to get the Eggs Benedict, the Florida Eggs Benedict, and to hear you say it sucked is very disappointing.
I didn't count, but I bet it was like 73 times this past year I said it. But any, I said it a lot, John, and it wasn't the worst thing I ever had, John. It really wasn't. But it wasn't when you're going in expecting to be phenomenal, and you get eh. It's and I get thank God for the rotten potatoes because they had no flavor. But thank God for them, I could actually eat a couple potatoes and take the egg down. It was there was something to do with the new sauce that they had on it. It just didn't jive well with the crab.
Gotcha. Yeah, the hollandaise just didn't go with crab, huh?
No. And then my wife got that the avocado toast, and it had this like jelly onion jelly on it, which. Sweet onion jelly. It was just wrong. It's like I don't know what the flavor palette was for this. Like my wife wasn't wanting anything sweet with that. If that makes sense to you, John.
Yeah, avocado toast. I don't think is traditionally sweet. So and onion jam. Probably Vidalia onion jam. It just doesn't sound very good.
No, I tried it. Anyway. I would try it because she didn't eat it all. If I'd have ate some more of hers, like the sad part was, is we didn't have a meal that we could go to. Like. We hated both of them, so it's like we just ate what we could to get us enough energy to go through the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
So what did you guys head off to do first thing Monday morning? Did you just chill at the pool or hang out at the resort because you didn't have tickets until Wednesday, right?
No, we didn't. We didn't actually go to any of the parks until Wednesday. No, Monday we headed over to Disney Springs. We did actually the hidden path that I tweeted about and put it out on Facebook. You can actually walk all the way from Old Key West to Disney Springs, if you so desire. It's a little bit of a hike, but it's very pretty. It goes along the Sasagula there that goes to the Old Key West, that stretch.
And then, go by the golf course and all, too?
Yeah, through Saratoga and stuff like that. But you can actually walk there the entire way without getting onto the golf course. So it was a nice little walk. And we got over there, did a little shopping and stuff like that, took the bus back, and then... ended up eating at Edison on Monday night, so that was fantastic. That was probably, I would say, that's the second best meal of the week that we had. Lisa had the short ribs. I had the short ribs, and Lisa had the prime rib, and we shared the bacon appetizer. And that candied bacon appetizer on the hangar, it looks ridiculous, and it's probably way overpriced at like $13 or $14 for six slices of bacon, but it's a religious experience, and sometimes you got to pay for a religious experience, so it was worth it.
Absolutely. I mean, what was your favorite part of yours again, John?
The prime rib. I had the short ribs, and the short ribs were good, but they were they were good. They weren't great or anything like that, but Lisa's prime rib was really good. It had they put the au jus over the top of it already, so it was nice and moist. It came out perfect medium and stuff like that. And that just started the rest of my meals off as far as me going, I really should have got what you got and not what I got.
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth. I said, you started a trend there of Lisa's meal being better.
I sure did, and it continued. So, but, yeah, the Edison was fantastic. Really had a great time.
So me and Brenda went. We roamed around the Magic Kingdom. What do you think the first ride we did was, John?
People mover.
No, we didn't. We didn't do that first. I had to take care of my princess first. So where did we go? My princess, my wife.
Oh, it's a small world.
No, come on, John.
Oh, the Haunted Mansion.
There you go. I mean, I'm starting to think you don't even know me.
You know, you told me that It's a Small World was the first ride that she took you on when you came for the first time. And then you went over to Pirates, and later in the day you went to Haunted Mansion.
But,
so I was going with the Recollection, you know?
No, we didn't do the Recollection. We went to what was her favorite ride. We did that first, which was – it was different without the stretching room, John, I have to admit. But it wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. I will say I think the Magic Kingdom – they're saying 35%. I think the Magic Kingdom was about 75% of crowd-wise. Because none of the lines now, John, there's no social distancing in any of the rides. Did you notice any social distancing in the lines?
We did a good job. I mean, when we were waiting in line for
Brenda would constantly pull me back to the line, but nobody else did.
Yeah. No, I thought we did a pretty good job. We did a pretty good job in Pirates when we waited for that. What we did have to wait because I might know somebody at Pirates. Yeah.
So. There you go. Good job. Well, you gotta get That's your bonuses, John, for working there.
Exactly. Yeah, take what you can get.
But Haunted was good. The line was crazy. How with the they have the social distance line, but there's no social distancing going on. But I loved the line because it said 25 minutes. We got on in like 10. That's how fast it moved. But it went down along the water by Liberty Bell, the boat down there, back up, back around. Did you guys go the same way when you went on it?
You know what? For some bizarre reason, there was literally no line whatsoever. We were over there, I think, at 8:45, 8:50. It was like the third or the fourth thing we did for the Haunted Mansion. And we walked right through the stretching room, right down, and right onto a dune buggy. So we literally had no line whatsoever.
That's awesome. Yeah, we did, like I said, it said 22 minutes or 20 minutes or 25. We were literally on in like 10 minutes. It moved really quick, but we were all the way out by the very end, all out by the Columbia Harbor House, had a wrap all around and up, but it moved nonstop. So it was really good, and I enjoyed starting a trip off at Haunted Mansion. Then I was freaked out. I'm like, what is this line going through Columbia Harbor House for? And you knew what it was for, right, John?
Yeah, that's Peter Pan's queue.
And that is crazy the way it runs. It goes even upstairs inside the Columbia Harbor House. It's not.
And, you know, I experienced those queues several times this week. And as weird as they are, I almost prefer that because I don't mind waiting. I like walking, though, as opposed to just standing in one spot for 3 minutes, moving 10 feet, and standing in the same spot for another 10 minutes.
Yes.
I don't mind walking. And so you just felt like you were constantly moving. So the queues, to me, didn't seem nearly as annoying. So.
And it shows the argument because me and Judith had disagreed, and I'm going to do a trip report with Judith on Thursday. And this makes me believe that if they get back to where it's normal, where we don't have to wear a mask, where we've discussed already multiple times mask on, mask off, but when it gets back to normal, it goes to show you the rides actually, and we've said this before, John, that the rides move faster without FastPass.
Yes, yeah. For those people who know how to play the system and stuff like that, yeah, fast passes are great, but they do slow down the vast majority of the rides, there's no doubt. I mean, I could see it coming back with certain rides, but you definitely don't need fast pass for all of the attractions, and some it does nothing but create false lines. There was never a line for Spaceship Earth before fast pass. You know? I mean, the longest you ever waited was 10, 15 minutes, if that. And then all of a sudden, now you've got 40-minute waits.
Yeah, because it makes the cast member make decisions where I let you on, let you off, let you on. They got to keep stopping, breaking the line. Where when it's just one line, I think the cast member can move the line faster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the merge point.
No.
But
the point I was trying to make is the one problem I do have, and I've seen a lot of it going on, and Judith was complaining about it too. There's a lot of cutting going on with these long lines. There's people cutting in constantly, coming back, getting back in line. And one thing I don't like about it is I noticed where more cast members definitely need to come back. They don't have enough. The line from Slinky Dog, we were there, went from all the way back to past where Toy Story is, John, all the way down the hall. You had a cast member at the end telling you the line is 40 minutes, and then you had a cast member all the way inside where the queue was. There's not another cast member the whole way. So people are constantly coming up and feathering into the line, and that's not fair.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's always that one grandma, grandpa, or dad that's standing in there holding the place for everybody in this family. So you get halfway through the line, and all of a sudden there's another 15 people in front of you because they just got off of Alien Saucer Spin. So.
But that's one of the things I noticed. There's not enough cast members on duty yet at all. I don't think there's enough at all. But we did everything. We did Big Thunder Mountain Railroad again, and we did get on the People Mover. The People Mover was the longest wait. We did all of our favorites at the Magic Kingdom, but the People Mover was the longest wait of any of the rides the entire week, John.
You told me that, so when we got there on Thursday, we did it second.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm glad you did.
I wasn't messing around. We were getting on People Mover, so...
Did you see how they just put one – dude, you're standing outside and people are literally all over in your face. There's no – like you're just passing. You're out in the darn heat. literally, when we were in line, John, there was probably 500-600 people in line. It was all the way. You know how they make that crazy S turns all the way there, right underneath the escalators. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
By Astro Orbiter and all that. Whole thing is just like a big snake. You're allowed to stand there with all these people. Nobody, no social distancing whatsoever. And then they put each family on an individual car. Is that crazy or what?
I don't know. I don't know what you experienced it differently, because when we got there, it was every other one. So on each train, there was at least two groups of families.
Nope, dude. So. When me and Brenda were there, they literally put – me and Brenda were the only one in the car, and every car behind us only had one person. And we noticed a lot of it. They were skipping cars. It was nuts. It was the longest wait we had the entire trip.
Yeah.
But we loved the Magic Kingdom. It was hot as H-E double hockey sticks. It would be hard for me to ever go in that kind of heat again with a mask on. It really would be. So, that's all I'm saying.
This time of year it's getting very warm. And we actually had a front come through the day that y'all left, or the day before everybody left. And so it cooled off a good 10-15 degrees, lost all the humidity.
Dude, we wore jackets to the airport. We know. It was 84 degrees.
Jackets,
dude, when we left for the airport, it was only like 50 degrees out, 55 degrees. It was chilly out.
Yeah, so. It was nice. It was amazing how the weather changed dramatically that much. So we all planned it wrong. If we would have been a week or about 4 days later, everybody would have had a fantastic weather. But Nicholas and Judith and Tommy, they got lucky. They had two full days there of absolutely gorgeous weather.
Well, we all blame you because you booked your trip first, and we decided to go with you. So it's your fault.
Oh, okay.
It's your fault, John. So, but then after People Mover and all, John, I got hungry, and I had to eat here. And the reason – and it worked out to be great. But we ate at the Tomorrowland Terrace, one of the nicest quick-service restaurants as far as atmosphere in Disney, and it's never open. Am I wrong?
No, we ate there a couple of years ago when we had the dining plan that one time, and that was the only time I've ever seen the place open and the only time I've ever eaten there.
Well, the kicker was for us was they actually had the Columbia Harbor House menu there.
Yep.
And it was absolutely it was awesome. The lobster roll was phenomenal, John. The fries were absolutely perfect. You ever get those fries that, like, they literally just came out of the deep fryer? That good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the ones we got. They were perfect. And then Brenda, I'm trying to bring up, she got a salad there, John. She actually, there was nothing left but a couple streaks of dressing on the bottom of the tray, John. That's how good it was. I mean, it was the chickpea salad that they have there. It was phenomenal, John. We really enjoyed it there. It made up for the first two horrible dinners we had. So what did you guys do for dinner on Saturday? Lunch for Monday. Yeah, John, I'm sorry. You said you went to the Edison. I got all ahead of myself there, buddy.
No, that's all right. Yeah, that day for lunch, I ended up ordering Chick-fil-A for Lisa for lunch, and just a sandwich for her. Uber Eats, they got a nice thing going, you know, and it was fine. But I mean, I paid it and left a $4 tip, but $20 get Chick-fil-A sandwich or Chick-fil-A nuggets delivered. So yeah. My first 2 days, I spent $100 on a pizza, 8 wings, and chicken nuggets.
So. Oh my goodness, dude! You could have ate another meal at the Edison for that.
No kidding.
Brenda had the harbor salad. I couldn't remember the name. It's the mixed greens, the chickpeas, the apples, candied walnuts, onion, and a vinaigrette. And she loved every bit of that, dude. That she really, really enjoyed that. So, and we ended up finishing up the day at the Magic Kingdom, and then we went home and chilled for a few hours, and then we went to Epcot later that night.
Very nice.
So. We roamed around Mr. Epcot and started eating around World Showcase, which we'll get into that when you get into that, if you follow me. So.
All right.
So Tuesday, what did you guys do on Tuesday?
We still didn't have park tickets or anything. We knew we were going out to dinner with you guys. Tuesday night, so I don't think we did. I think I ended up running Lisa back over to Cast Connection, of course, and I think we went there three times in the week.
I wish I'd have known. I'd have jumped in with you.
Yeah, I thought I sent a text to both of you guys every time we went, but
no, I never got one, John. I'll have to look. I'll have to look through the text, and if I'm wrong, I will apologize on the air. But I don't think I got one about Cast Connection.
Yeah, we went over there, and actually Tuesday is the day that they bring out. And this is going to sound goofy. Here you are on vacation, and what are you doing? But they bring out the meat. They bring out the meat. So we bought a beef tenderloin for $20. We got two pork tenderloins for $3.49 a piece, and pre-cooked 8 pounds of bacon for $6.99. So we had the freezer, so why not? So we bought all that stuff, put it in the freezer, and brought it back home. So we are stocked up.
I didn't even know Cast Connection sold meat, John.
Yeah, and I can't quite figure out what it is, because it's all in date. All of the stuff is good for 6 to 7 months. So it's not like surplus that's ready to go, ready to expire or anything. But it's all cryovac'd, brand new stuff. So I don't know what it is. Is it just surplus that they just don't have the room to store, or what?
So. Yeah, they don't hold a lot of meats, from what I understand, in any of the restaurants. So I just think they just have to keep moving it. They have a schedule. It's kind of like – it was like – and I don't want to use the same exact terms, but like my stupid boss when I ran the company for Resicom Drywall, we'd have these – one. There was one model house that had three different layouts, and he would order material for the biggest layout of the three models. And – whatever was left over, he'd tell me to throw away. Don't bring it back to the shop. It's already paid for. I don't want the mud. I don't want the bead. We have no room to store it here. So it was perfectly good stuff. So my garage ended up being full of, and I would sell it on the side to all my subcontractors that I had, if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I would haul it home. I'd haul home like 6 buckets of mud and half a case of bead. And then next thing you know, my garage has about 30 cases of bead, 50 buckets of mud. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I understood what he was saying. If he had an order for each one, one would be wrong, and we would be out of material, and it would cost him more to get one of us to go pick it up and bring it over there than if he just ordered every house with that material. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so. And I guess it's the same mentality as all the big box stores do, Target, Walmart, you know, when they do the holiday sales after Christmas sales, because all that stuff goes – you know, 50% off when you would think they could just hold it and sell it next year, but they don't. So
storage, moving
mentality.
Storage, paying people to move it here again. It just costs more than just let it go.
There you go.
But now we ended up what were we at, John? Tuesday, you went over to Cast Connection. Me and Brenda met Judith and Tommy over at Hollywood Studios, and we did Slinky Dog first thing. Judith and Tommy got there a little bit before us, because we got there almost at opening, and they went right to the train, the new Mickey and Minnie Runaway train.
Yeah.
And they got on that in like 20 minutes. We went and did Slinky Dog because I knew how hot that was. And I didn't realize, I'm figuring that Minnie Mickey's going to be inside. Wouldn't you think that, John, mostly?
Well, at the end of the queue is, that's for sure, but not the beginning.
No, not at all, dude. It was nowhere near as much. We get there, it's 45 minutes. We get like a quarter of the way through the line, and Brenda goes, "Nah, this ain't happening. Literally, where they have you out, it's more dangerous dying from heat frustration than it is getting COVID and where they have you standing in the sun. It couldn't be worse if they went out and bought a bunch of, you never see how Tony Soprano and, the guys would suntan, they'd put leather on them, then they'd get them big stainless steel things and shine the sun on them.
Yeah, Polly Walnuts did that all the time.
Yeah, well, they should have got a bunch of Polly Walnuts stainless steel and put it out there, because they couldn't have fried you anymore, John, than where they have you standing out on that concrete there in front of the Man Chinese Theater. It's horrible. So we never end up doing Minnie Mickey's Runaway Railroad. That park, again, I said it on last show, it was the most crowded I've ever seen. It was on May the 4th, which I break stones about. I'm the number one Star Wars fan ever. Me and Judith both booked that park as Tuesday. We never even thought the 4th at all until a week before we were going. I called her up and said, "We're screwed."
We're going there May the 4th. John, we went into Galaxy's Edge. I thought it was really nice. It was cool. They did a great job. But I really couldn't enjoy it because there was literally like 12 to 15 million people there.
Yeah, it's really crowded. We ended up there going by there on Thursday afternoon. And it was, I would have to tend to agree with you. There's no way that's 35%. No. And they don't even, right now, they're not even proclaiming it's 35% capacity. They say limited capacity is all they're saying. So limited could be, for all we know, 95%. So.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like limited edition, and they sell 12 million of it. But,
yeah.
I mean, I did raid on my Disney travel site and all that other stuff. When we're booking, they're still telling us it's 35%, John. So yeah. That's what the literature's saying. But there is no way in God's green earth that was the most crowded I've ever seen that park. But we roamed around. We met up with Judith and Tommy, which was the first time we got to see them. It was lunchtime on Tuesday. We actually went to ABC Commissary, John. That was Judith and me both tried to charm the lady at the front desk. Judith went in charmed. I showed the lady a little leg, but neither one of us could get us a meal at the Brown Derby. So
yeah, that's it.
We tried, though. That's where we wanted to eat. But we ended up at ABC Commissary.
You tried.
And I'll tell you what, John, me and Brenda both got the shrimp tacos there, and so did Judith, and then Tommy got a burger. And the food there was awesome. Those shrimp tacos was one of the best things I had all week. They were phenomenal. Have you ever eaten that? Nice. Have you ever had them there?
No, and they changed the menu anyway, so, I mean, we haven't done the stew Studios as a day park in probably 6 years. So
now I guarantee, John, you really like the shrimp tacos. The flavor, they had the flour tortilla, not the corn, so I was in heaven, John. So they were really good.
Very nice.
And we hung out there for a little bit more, then we came home, we all got showered, and then we went to the night that we all can remember in multiple ways at the Paddlefish, which was, and we had our waitress Pamela, which was out of this world, and we had a really good time there. Judith booked the made the reservation, and we had a really good, the six of us had a great time there that night at the Paddlefish.
Yes, it was a great meal, great waitress, and great company. It was a fantastic time, and even a bit of a show. It was a great night. So.
Yeah, well, we had this discussion, John. Have you discussed this with what happened with any of your family members or anybody you know?
Yeah, well of course. I talked to Lisa all about it. We had JJ, and then, of course, he went, oh, I wish I would have won.
Well, this, so the audience knows, we're all sitting down. We get our drinks. We're chilling. We're having a wonderful time. The view is absolutely beautiful over at the lake down at the Disney Springs. Am I wrong, John?
No, it was beautiful, and the sun was setting. And then that was one thing for a little bit, because the sun got over right at the horizon, and it really was just blasting us. And then it took about 3 or 4 minutes, and then finally they brought down the shades, and it was much better. So.
And it was beautiful. They brought the shades down, let the sun set, and then they put them back up for the beauty again.
Yep.
They got it all figured out there, don't they, John?
Good timing.
So me, you, and Tommy, I think, were getting a little more annoyed than the women for some reason. But
I think maybe I'm going with, you know, women have, without trying to be too sexist, a maternal instinct that enables them to handle a yelling child a little better than men. Maybe that's it.
A little bit, because yeah, Brenda said she didn't really notice it that much. She didn't notice it until we started to say something.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
John, I'm not exaggerating. That baby was nonstop for like 15 minutes. Am I wrong,
and
John?
No, not at all. And it wasn't a little baby. He was probably 2 and a half. So
3 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a newborn that you understand. They cry and they have never had the chance to actually go out. No, this was a 2.5-year-old child. It wasn't a little itty bitty baby.
No, it was a she, wasn't it, John? Screaming? I don't know who it was, but whatever the child was, there was two of them. There was a boy and a girl. But because
yes,
I didn't want to keep staring, and the reason I didn't want to keep staring because I could, if I get stared back at, I could get into conflict. So I was trying to just try to keep that Switzerland over there, John, so I didn't get in trouble on our trip.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is screaming. And it's yelling. The father yelled at it the one time. You seen that too, didn't you, John, to stop it? The father kind of lost it a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know. It felt like maybe the child, and again, it's hard to say, you know, without being in their shoes and stuff like that. But now, Disney is not the time to all of a sudden decide that you have to discipline your child.
Yes,
you need to either let it go or have done that long before you come to Disney World.
Yes, so, yeah. The idle threats don't work if you don't. They don't work at home. They're really not going to work there. And kids know what they can get away with out in public because they know what your limitations are.
And there's a reason it's called the terrible twos.
Yes. So. But this kid would not stop. And we're paying, this is a fancy, nice place, which it was worth every nickel. The food was phenomenal. The company was phenomenal. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. But it isn't a place. You got T-Rex. You got Rainforest Cafe. You got McDonald's. You got everything you could possibly want, like, to bring and – to bring your kids to the prime time to eat dinner, I think is wrong, in my opinion. We had a 6:45 meal. It wasn't a 4 o'clock meal. If it was 4 or 5, I would understand a little more. 6:45, 7 o'clock. Don't you think that's a little late to book a meal with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, John?
Yeah, it was not an early bird special, and it wasn't like they didn't just get that reservation either. You know, I mean, they actually had to plan because they were eating at the same time we were. So they were there at 6:15 or so. So they planned that reservation knowing that they have kids.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they walked up and were able to get seated, you know?
No. So we were all cool. Our table was dead in the middle. So all of a sudden, finally, Daddy gets the kids out of there. And then we got an elderly couple for someone on the other side of us. They all... Bravo! Yippee-ki-yay! They're cheering over there that the kids are leaving, and the father. So they, father and the kids get out of the building, and Mama Bear claps back at them, and a major argument breaks out where it was like E.F. Hutton spoke and the whole restaurant listened. Am I wrong, John?
that was the weirdest. There was like the busboy was over there cleaning the table. The waitresses all stopped. Everybody stopped, and we're all like, you start that moving your eyes back and forth.
Yeah.
I think I had a bite halfway to my mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's going down.
Yeah. Yes, it was crazy, and it kind of put an awkwardness on all of us. And we're all sitting here, and we got home, and we had dinner for Mother's Day, and my sister-in-law was over, and we were going back and forth on who was right. And I think the elderly people went a little far by clapping. But I can understand why they're clapping. They're paying good money for a nice night out. They probably were looking forward to this maybe for weeks or months, like we were. We've been looking forward to this meal for 3 months now, and we got to have it ruined because you can't control your child.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say that's the only thing. It didn't ruin my meal.
No.
It definitely.
It did put a damper on it. It just sucked. It just sucked is what it did. It didn't ruin anything, but it just sucked. They shouldn't have been
altered your
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
like the one glaring thing that we'll definitely remember. So
no, I still remember you guys more. But we were all so happy just to be there with each other. Now these other two couples, they might go there, it might be their place, and they don't want to hear it. You understand what I'm saying, John?
Well, and at the same time, it is Disney World. You know, I mean, this isn't Charlie's Steakhouse in downtown Orlando. This isn't, you know, the Palm Restaurant for a businessman's lunch. You know, it is Disney World, and there are children everywhere.
So,
I wouldn't be surprised if Victoria and Albert's has been had a crescendo of children crying in it before. It's going to happen, and I don't agree
because I would agree with you if we were in T-Rex or Rainforest or even at 50s Primetime, I would have got it. There's a gazillion restaurants. If I was at Chef Mickey's, if I was at Boma, one of the buffets, I get it. If I was at a character meal, I get it. But the problem I had is how long, and I wouldn't even been mad if it was 5 or 10 minutes, John.
Yes. No, he was screaming for a good 15. And we had a very similar experience at Le Cellier, and the same thing. I mean, Le Cellier is a high-end steakhouse.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So I don't, and you're spending, I mean, for me, us three to eat there, we're probably spending $175.
Yes.
I really don't want to hear that.
That
so
was
I,
my
I'm
point.
Sorry, I don't. So.
And the paddlefish is in the same category. It's
absolutely,
the same. It's,
absolutely.
So the point was, if the parents would have got the kid out of there sooner, after the first four or five times they told him to quiet down and don't, you got to, now you got to start. Now it goes from me feeling bad for you disrespecting me. Can you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, speaking as a parent, we didn't do it. JJ couldn't. We didn't feel that he could handle restaurants between the ages of 6 months. And I mean, before that, he would sleep the entire time. So, but between 6 months and probably three, we just didn't go out to dinner. I mean, that's all there was to it. We just didn't go out to dinner. We weren't ever at Disney, but at Disney, like you said, Doug, there's plenty of options.
Yes.
It wasn't like they had to go to the paddlefish. The only meal they're going to get tonight is paddlefish. So, I mean, they had plenty of options. So.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not a child. I love kids. I understand them getting a little. I'm a mouthy kid. But the point is, like I said, the first couple minutes, I feel bad for you. Because I know you're trying to calm them down. But when he finally don't, he or she don't calm down, it's your responsibility to get them out of there. Don't ruin your time. Don't ruin my time. I think we agree on that.
Yeah. I think it got to the point where it was excessive and they should have removed the situation earlier. And I mean, even if it comes down to, okay, the quiet kid and one parent sits and eats and one parent takes the loudmouth outdoors.
Yes.
And then they switch off. I mean, that would be, there was two kids, there was two parents. So
yes.
They could have definitely done something like that.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. So.
Yeah, and the thing that got me too, John, is I did look over a couple times. The mother was oblivious to it. The father was the one that was trying to stop it. The mother just had her head down eating like hell with all of you, John. And I think that's also where the other couple, when they kept looking over, I think that's what got them a little PO'd too, because the mother didn't seem like it was even phasing her. She was more like, tough, this is on you, and I don't care. So, but let's get to the positive part. The meal was phenomenal. We started off with the lobster. So anyhow, John, for the 38th time.
I'm going with 40th.
And you guys wouldn't believe it, but it's true. But we got the lobster corn dogs, which I actually hate them now. I loved them before, but now I hate them. But anyhow, we got the lobster corn dogs, which I thought were good because the batter wasn't overpowering. But yeah, and you could still taste the lobster. But you go ahead and say you actually agree with me, so I want to hear your point.
Yeah. Lobster is one of those things, Doug, that I actually do tend to agree with you on.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, the lobster corn dogs were really tasty and stuff like that. But it's lobster.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need to fry lobster. I'm sorry. I just don't know. But nonetheless, they were very tasty, you know, and I certainly enjoyed it. I think me and Tommy ate more than anybody else. But,
I mean,
I like fried food, so I'm bad about that anyway. But lobster, I think, I find so delicious, I don't think you need to fry it.
Yeah, what I liked about them was the reason I'll give them two thumbs up as far as they're worth trying. They were very good. They were good. But I liked about it is because the way they were cooked, it didn't kind of like ruin the lobster. You still could taste the tenderness of the lobster. They didn't make it to where it was tough and flavorless. You can agree with me on that. It still had flavor to it.
Yeah, so. I'm just thinking, you know, if they were just like that in butter poached, dude,
yeah.
You know, it'd probably be just as good. But
exactly.
No, they were very good, and they had a nice dipping sauce with them, and they were certainly convenient to eat with, stuck on the sticks like that. So.
Yeah. So we each got that. Was very happy. They had my Modelo, which made me happy. What did you have to drink, John?
I think I had a High Life. Yeah. I believe they had a High Life on draft.
So. And Tahami got his Blue Moon, I think. Blue Moon,
yep.
I've been waiting for you. Oh, I'm sorry, that's another time for another day. But anyway, your wife ended up getting the scallop, so you really didn't care for it that much, John. And
yeah, right.
Yeah. But you ended up getting the mahi-mahi. I got the stuffed cod. Tommy got the stuffed cod. Judith and Brenda each got the salmon, and you got the mahi mahi, and Lisa got the scallops, which every one of them was very good. I'll start off with Brenda and Judith. They got the miso, vinaigrette, vegetable stir fry, wasabi mash with a creamy bacon, the salmon, And I'll tell you what, John, I should have actually let you try them. I didn't even think to get Brenda to give me a little bit to give to you. But have you ever had wasabi mashed potatoes before?
No, but it sounds interesting. I mean, I actually, some of the steakhouses that we go to make a horseradish mashed potato. So I can't imagine it's too different from that. It gives it that sharp twang to it. So they're probably pretty tasty.
I'll tell you what, with a bite of salmon with that wasabi, it was phenomenal, dude. It was like eating sushi with the wasabi with the mash. And like we said before, we're two Irish potato heads. You give me any kind of potato, I'm pretty much going to be happy. And
exactly.
they were phenomenal. And Brenda and Judith both said the salmon was out of this world. And I tried the salmon. It was cooked to perfection, John. So your mahi-mahi, what was your thoughts on that?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the vegetables with it and stuff like that. It was very, very good. I wouldn't hesitate getting that again in ever. It's just Lisa's was probably one of the best dishes I've ever had.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Your mahi had a campanada, salsa verde, and herb roasted potatoes, which it looked very good, John. They did a very nice job. But Lisa got the scallops with the cauliflower puree, crispy Brussels sprouts, and bacon. And they looked out of this world, man. Yeah, they really did.
And it had like a mustard remoulade sauce with it that she didn't know if she was going to like, but it was absolutely delicious. And it's not like a tangy mustard, just like a mellow mustard. And it was it just went with the scallop so well. But it was that dish is almost as if they called Lisa up and went, all right, you're coming to dinner. What do you want to eat? Because Brussels sprouts and cauliflower are her favorite vegetables. She loves scallops. So that was her dish. So.
And then me and Tommy got the stuffed cod, which had a shrimp. It had the stuffing of cod. It had like a little spicy of the mustard kind of deal too, John, I thought. But the sauce was stuffed with baby shrimp and scallops, John. It was out of this world. I mean, that meal, the flavoring, well, it was one of my favorite things I've ever had too, John. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and that looked really nice too. It was a very nice presentation. So
we really had a great meal that night. We were all too stuffed to have any kind of dessert, so we really enjoyed ourselves. So.
Yes,
and
we did.
And that was the day we actually, in between, we got the record over at the Wyndham. So it was a good day. So.
Yeah. All around. Got to see my buddy Doug and hang out and have a couple of beers by the pool at the Wyndham. So it was a great time.
Yeah, we had a good – that was a five-star day, in my opinion, with all the friends, family, and because that's what you guys are, friends and family. It was a really good time. Then Wednesday, we all headed over to Epcot. And I feel like we need another 7 hours to do the Epcot version of this show, John. We got to do so many of the entrees and stuff like that. And I know you're kind of running a little behind. Would you want me to go and I record you on the way in so we could do the Epcot stuff?
Yeah, either that or you could go ahead and put this one out and we can do a part two, a trip, whatever you want to do.
Okay, we could do Epcot. And the other, I'll put them together. I'll call you and record them, and we'll put them together. But we've been trying to do this so long. It's after 6 o'clock. John worked all day. So we'll end it on Tuesday with a nice note at the Paddlefish. We all ate very well. We seen Tyson versus Ali inside the restaurant, which was really good. You disagree with that, John? It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting because then you and Tommy ended up talking about boxing later. So I wonder if that's what brought that that discussion about.
Yeah, so. And we'll settle this right here. Sugar Ray Leonard is 10 times better than Tommy Hearns or Marvin Hagler. And that's where we're going to end it. And when he has his podcast, he could start it up and disagree with me, John.
There you go.
So, but we will. This is the end of part one. We're gonna splice them together tomorrow or the next day and get this show out there. How's that sound, John?
Sounds good. Sounds real good.
All right. Bye, guys. That's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools and pay our tabs and get on out of here. If you guys could you please head over to iTunes if you enjoy the show and leave us a review? We'd really appreciate it. Even if you don't, we'd really appreciate it. Also, you can head over to Twitter and find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us both at WDW Main Street on Twitter and Facebook. Also, head over to Podbeam and check out WDW Main Street, and you can find all our sponsors there.
Everybody be kind to one another. We will talk to you real soon. Bye, guys.